Hi, just recently I was looking at something regarding how kings and queens in Spain had died over the centuries, and Spanish kings and queens. Some interesting things came up, like the fact that since the reign of Carlos IV, which started in 1788, there have been 8 monarchs. There have been other leaders there too, like the dictator Franco. But 8 monarchs, of whom only one ended up dying in Spain. That was Alfonso XII, who died rather young from disease. The rest, died, kicked the bucket in exile, though most are still buried in El Escorial, which is a town about an hour away from Madrid. I mean, I kind of knew that, I guess, but I never put two and two together and realized it's right. If you think about it, I mean, I know how the lives of many of these kings and queens, and yet I never just thought about it. I said, it's true. That's most of these people have died outside of the country. The current king's father, who's also king, Juan Carlos, is also living outside of Spain. And we'll have to see what happens. He's quite elderly right now. We'll see where he ends up passing away. This story talked about how the kings and queens died, starting Ferdinand and Isabella in the late 15th century, and it renewed my interest in the death of Felipe el Hermoso, or Philip the Handsome. Philip was Juana's husband. Juana was one of the daughters of Isabella and Ferdinand, and he had married into the family, but when Isabella died, he kind of took a great interest in becoming king of Spain, or Castile, let me be more accurate there. He realized that there was something going on in Spain. They had just discovered America, so there was quite an interesting future for this country, and his wife, Juana, who was named to be the heir to the throne, well, he thought maybe he could make the most of that and take over the power. It wasn't meant to be that way, but he was ambitious and also wanted to keep his father-in-law, Ferdinand, from muscling in. On top of that, there were some reasonable doubts as to whether or not Juana was up to the task, and she wasn't as crazy as her sobriquet claims. She goes down in history as Juana la Loca, Jane the Mad, or Crazy Jane. But there was something about her that made others skeptical, including her own mother, Isabella, who planned out a backup plan, a plan B, in case Juana failed to convince the others that she could rule effectively. That was sort of in the dying days, the last few days before Isabella died, when she was preparing her famous will. She definitely had her reservations about how good, how ready her daughter was to handle it. Isabella has gone down in history as probably the most effective queen Spain ever had, certainly one of the most interesting and effective rulers of her day, man or woman, Spanish or French or English. She really was an extraordinary person. Controversial, obviously, for a number of reasons, but a very strong-willed and effective ruler. In any event, her reputation, Juana's reputation for being unbalanced, was seized upon as an excuse for Felipe and Ferdinand to capitalize on, as they both vied for power. Ferdinand eventually stepped back and let his son-in-law take over. He had more support from the Castilian nobility, and that was formalized after the signing of the Treaty of Villafafila. And back in June of 1506, he was proclaimed king on July 12th. But his reign lasted less than 3 months. On September 25th, he was dead, causing an upheaval, a power vacuum in the country. And now his death has intrigued me because it's still sort of a mystery to this day. I've always been a little bit suspicious of it. The popular version states that he was playing the sort of a Basque sport called pelota, which is highlay. In the Basque sports, there are many sports that they smack a ball against a wall, sort of like squash or racquetball, but they'll use, or handball, they'll use their hand to hit it back and forth, or sometimes a wicker basket, which they carry on their hand. Anyway, it was one of those sports. And according to this story, after he finished, he drank a glass or two or three of ice-cold water, and not long after that, began to feel sick. In other words, it sort of triggered a sickness that would take his life a week later. And this tale has been the historical basis for generations, decades, centuries of young children being warned by their mothers and grandmothers not to drink liquids that are too cold after sports. Since it happened to a famous king who died as a result, you can imagine the impact it would have on a young kid. As I said, generations were traumatized by the thought. But that theory, when subjected to scrutiny, basically falls flat. It doesn't hold up. After all, can a person just die from drinking cold water after getting a workout, even an intense workout? It seems very, very, very unlikely, because it is unlikely, practically impossible, and it's often related to other issues, heart issues, things like that, maybe a stroke, and so the water, it seems like it was related, but for the most part, nothing that severe would ever happen. You might feel some discomfort afterwards, apparently you might cramp up, things like that, but anyway, that's, as I said, the story is famous, and this myth that's been passed down throughout the generations has certainly been all but debunked. But anyway, the man obviously died from something, and a number of maladies have been credited with handing this man his premature death. It is often cited that typhoid fever was the cause, which is, as you'd expect, characterized by its high fever, and which was one of Felipe's worst symptoms. Another theory was that it was bubonic plague that did him in. And there were outbreaks in the area at the time, but we'll get to that in a second. And finally, murder has always been batted around as a possible, or even in some cases, especially many, many years ago, probable cause. Some say he was poisoned, possibly by his father-in-law, Ferdinand II, who was the husband of Isabella. He was the one who had been trying to get the crown of Castile under his belt. That's a mixed and mashed metaphor for you, to add to his crown of Aragon. Some even said it was Juana, his wife, out of jealousy, decided to just get rid of him altogether. And I guess in history, we've had cases like that, but that doesn't seem to be the case here. And certainly would have been probably out of character, since Juana very, very much loved him, especially after he died, where she and her followers took his coffin around the countryside of Castile on its way. It was supposed to go to Granada in the far south, but it didn't quite get there, not by a long shot. But she was going from town to town, and on occasion, they said, opening the casket to take a look. So she probably had nothing to do with it. Ferdinand, I guess, was a possibility, These things were not unheard of back then. But that was early on, and since then there hasn't been much talk of that. Anyway, in the last few decades, people have really focused a lot on what writers had to say about his symptoms. We say he had his sports, he drank water, he was feeling a bit under the weather, fever started, chills came on, and by the first evening he was complaining that his chest hurt. Then he seemed to get better a few days later, but after about 4 days, things got considerably worse. He started coughing up blood. Red spots began to appear on his skin, which is a sign that the blood is clotting inside his body. This was all recorded at the time, so it's of interest to people who are medical experts and historians who knew what sort of diseases were affecting the country at the time. This has led many experts to believe that he was a victim of the plague, but not the bubonic plague exactly. They would say in Spanish, la peste, the plague. But this was another one known as the septicemic plague, and apparently was deadlier than bubonic plague. And the symptoms mentioned are fairly consistent with that disease. In fact, the absence of those bulb-like swellings, the bulbos, as they're called, is sort of a telltale sign that of the disease not being bubonic plague, but the septicemic version, if that was the case at all. But anyway, in the last few years, several people have mentioned that, have argued that. And then you had an array of other causes, ranging from syphilis, in response to his constant infidelities, to basic heart failure, which we know even today has caused athletes, even young athletes, teenagers, young adults in their 20s, doing lots of sports and suffering from a heart attack. But this went on for a week or so, and so it probably was something else. Syphilis may have been the cause. It would have been I guess I was a little surprised because America hadn't been discovered until, at least by the Spaniards, until 1492. This was 14 years later. But apparently by then, that disease, that sexually transmitted disease, had appeared, in fact, in Italy, in Naples, in 1494, something like that. So the timing was possible, and that could have been the cause. And then what about poisoning? Well, as I said, many suggested this at first. I think one of the first reactions was that he had been poisoned. I mean, this was a young man in the prime of life, strong as an ox. And we already know that there were people around him who may have had motives. And in fact, there are others who assert that, you know, well, there you had it. You just read what it says. It says he went to play sports, this pelota. He drank a glass or two of water and started to get sick. And they said the water was probably contaminated with this poison. And that's possible. I mean, it's certainly possible. But from what I can understand, even though it seems intriguing and we sort of like to look for these things when these sort of sudden deaths occur, I guess just looking at the medical information available, most experts think it had more to do with the disease than anything else. One thing is for sure, Felipe may have wanted to become king of a country, of Castile, but his heart was clearly still back in his homeland of Flanders. So we know that his wife, Juana, carted his body around throughout the countryside of Castile, but it wasn't complete. When he passed away, his heart was removed and sent back to the Netherlands, actually to what is today Belgium, Bruges, and it's apparently located in the Church of Our Lady alongside his mother's body. So that certainly tells you something, doesn't it? Anyway, that's pretty much the latest on his death, in case anyone is or was interested. And that'll be all for our podcast brought to you by Brian Spain Domain. Please feel free to leave us any comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, we'd greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the very best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. You can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button, or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. And you can also check us out on our YouTube channel and support us by subscribing. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.